campaign some years ago, and you see it on the billboards, on the commercial. They said, got milk?
Yes.
And you see the people with the milk mustache.
Yes.
But ain't it good to know that we got Jesus?
Yes.
We don't have to look for him. We got him.
Yes.
We know exactly where Jesus is.
Yes.
He's looking down upon us that he might bless us and keep us. If you got Jesus, that's enough. Because if you got him, you've got everlasting life. If you've got him, you've got a health plan that is out of this world. If you've got Jesus, that's enough. And I'm so thankful. I'm so happy. I'm so blessed that I got Jesus. We praise God. We thank God for this opportunity. What a mighty God we serve. I tell you, can bless us each and every day. Keeps on giving. Keeps on blessing. And we just thank God for all the things he's done in our lives. Amen. For a little while this afternoon, I want to call your attention to the Corinthians, the second Corinthians, the 12th chapter. For the second Corinth letter that Paul wrote. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In the New Testament, after the Gospels, and before you get to Revelation, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we'll look at verse 7, beginning with verse 7, a very familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And the Word of God reads, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, then am I strong. Just for a little while this afternoon, I want to talk from the thought, God's grace. God's grace. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to be together in this place at this time. Lord, we ask you, Lord, just to send the Holy Spirit, send a teacher, Lord, that we might teach and preach to these your people, that I might decrease so that you might increase, so that they might see you this day and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's grace. Grace is something that you don't deserve. The dictionary describes grace as unmerited assistance. When you need help and somebody gives you that help, they do it because of grace. Grace is favor. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. Grace is getting something that you can't pay for. Grace is getting something that you can't even work yourself to pay back. We can work all our lives to try to repay God, but we will always come up short. We can give our tithes each and every Sunday. We can give offering to the poor. but we still come up short.
Well,
we can come to every meeting the church has. We can come to every session they have, but still we cannot repay God for all that God has given us. If we tried, we worked our hardest. If we tried to do our best, we could not repay God. If you try to pay God back yesterday for what he had done, for waking him up this morning, you would owe him today for waking you up again today.
All right. Yeah, amen.
That's right.
You just can't beat God given. You can't repay God. There's no way. Because he gives you breath.
Yes.
He gives you life. He gives all this to you.
Amen.
We can't wake ourselves up. We can't keep ourselves in our own right mind.
Say it.
Say
it. It is grace that does it.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. But also he's writing to a church at 2806 Page Road.
All right.
Paul is writing. He's talking about the things that he had done. In the same chapter, we see that he went up to the third heaven.
Yes.
All right.
And Paul saw things that he could not describe.
Mm-hmm.
Paul heard words that could not be uttered.
Mm-hmm.
Paul saw some visions that no other man had ever seen.
Yes.
Paul was a wonderful missionary. Paul was a mighty man of God. God equipped Paul well with all the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
Paul was equipped for the ministry.
Well,
no doubt Paul had on the full armor of God.
Amen.
Paul had all these things going on. He was a great leader. He was a learned man. But Paul had a problem.
Yes,
Paul had a situation.
Yes,
he had a problem that he had to pray to God for. It was a problem too big for him to fix.
Yes.
It was a problem that he could not take care of himself. And I know that we also have problems.
Yes.
Everybody in this room has problems.
Yes.
Everybody at this church has problems.
Yes.
We have situations. We have circumstances. We have things that we cannot get ourselves out of. We have ways that we have gotten ourselves into that we just can't get out of.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
We have problems that we caused ourselves. We have problems that other people have caused to come upon us.
Yes.
We all have problems.
Yes.
Paul had a problem.
Yes.
This man of God that used to persecute the church. But he found Jesus on the Damascus Road.
Amen.
But I'm here to tell you that not only did Paul persecute the church, there's still some people persecuting the church.
Amen.
Some people may be on the same road that you're in persecuting the church.
Amen.
But Paul had a revelation on that Damascus road and started running for the Lord.
Yes.
So Paul, this great man of God, the man that has established so many churches and has done so many things for the Lord, has a problem. And we are told when we have a problem, take it to the Lord.
Yes.
If you have a situation, take it to the Lord.
Yes.
So Paul, this man of God that knew the scriptures, that knew all the things to do, that knew what required of the Lord, prayed.
Yes.
He prayed. He prayed that the Lord would remove this thorn in his side, and we don't know exactly what it was, but we know it was a problem that he wanted to get rid of.
All right.
So Paul prayed. He prayed, but nothing happened. Has that ever happened in your life? You're going through a situation, you're going through a circumstance, and you know that God can take care of this, and you pray, but nothing happens. So Paul prayed again.
All right.
The same prayer.
Yes.
For the same thing.
All right.
He's praying, Lord, take this away from me. Lord, I'm doing the best that I can down here, but Lord, I need you to remove this from me.
Mm-hmm.
Paul prayed, but God didn't move again. We have problems. We have situations. But sometimes God allowed that problem to be in our lives for a reason. And we all want to live a life with no problems. We all want to live a life where we don't have any problems at all. Everything works out. That everybody loves us and everybody's glad to see us. But I'm here to tell you that there's not going to be a life like that. You're going to have some problems. But you know what? If we didn't have some problems, how would we know that God can solve them? If we didn't get sick one day, how would we know that God can raise us up out of our sick bed? If we don't know these things, how can we tell the world that there is a God, that the God can take care of your problem if we've never had a problem? Somebody prayed that they wouldn't get laid off. Somebody pray that they get a better position at work. But sometimes we gotta languish in that job that is beneath us just for a little while. Sometimes we gotta get laid off so that God can prepare us for what is to come. Sometimes, young people, you gotta do what you don't want to do to get where you need to be. To get to the place you want to be, sometimes you got to work at McDonald's. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Paul sought the Lord once, nothing happened. He prayed a second time, and God didn't move. And we heard that old saying, the third time's a charm, three times is a charm. So Paul prays a third time. Paul prayed again, and this time Paul got an answer. This time his prayer was answered. It may not have been the answer that he wanted, but God answered him. But it was the answer that he needed. Sometimes we pray and we don't get what we want. We don't get exactly what we ask for, but God knows what we need. And when we need it. And I can imagine Paul and God giving Paul the answer, my grace is sufficient.
All right.
And Paul could have said, that's not what I prayed for.
Yes.
That's not the answer that I wanted. But I'm so glad that his grace is sufficient.
Yes, it is.
You know what? It's amazing to me as I look back over my life. Well, when I was a teenager doing things I should not do, God's grace was sufficient. Even as you get married and things don't seem to be going right, but God's grace is sufficient. Even in the church when things seem to be going the wrong way, sometimes God's grace is sufficient. You see, we may pray for a better car, but a car keeps getting up from here to there. It is sufficient. Sometimes we want to pray for a better home, but we got a roof over our head, and it is sufficient. Sometimes we pray for a better job with more money, but we're paying the bills, and it is sufficient. You see, I can live without a new car. You see, I can live without a new house. I can live without a new position at work. I can live without a degree on the wall. I can live.
Thank you, God.
Without money in the bank.
Yes.
We've done it before. We can live.
Yes.
Without all these things.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I can't live without grace.
Yes.
I cannot live a day without grace. I can't live a minute without grace. God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
It is sufficient. Because it was his grace that woke me up this morning. It was his grace that protected me all the way here today. And I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. I may write a check and come back insufficient funds. I may not have the education needed for a specific job. But God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient to supply our every need. And God's grace, although you're sick, We've been preparing a doctor that's going to see you even as you're working it out. God's grace is sufficient. And I look back over my life and I can see where God's grace has kept me all this time. You know, I can live without cable TV. I don't have to have call waiting. I don't necessarily need to text anybody. I can live without all these gadgets we got. But I can't live without God's grace. I can't take a breath without God's grace. I can't lift my hands without God's grace. I can't stop my feet without God's grace. I can't say hallelujah without God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for me.
Yes.
God's grace was sufficient in the fiery furnace. God's grace was sufficient in the lion's den. God's grace was sufficient for the woman with the issue of blood. God's grace was sufficient. Jonah was running away from God, but his grace was sufficient because he could have killed him right there, but he put him in the belly of a fish. God's grace is sufficient.
Thank you, Lord.
Paul came to the realization that God's grace is amazing.
Yes.
His grace is amazing.
Yes.
The songwriter said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Don't you know that we are saved by grace? Yes. It's not by our works, lest any man shall boast, but by our grace.
Yes.
Paul could have boasted about all the things he'd done. Paul could have boasted about going up to the third heaven. Paul could have boasted about all the plants, the churches he planted. God's grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did the grace appear that hour I first believed. God's grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Can carry you where you can't go yourself.
Say so, say so.
The songwriter ends, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." There was another songwriter that wrote these words: "I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and lonely nights. But when I look around and I think things over and I look back over my life at where God's grace has brought me, and I look where I came from, and I look where I am, and I analyze everything, and I put my good days on this side and my bad days on that side, and all of a sudden all of my bad days, my good days outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain." Paul could have complained. Paul could have said, "Lord, that's not what I asked you for, but I won't complain because God's grace is sufficient." It was grace that woke me up this morning. Grace that carried me on my way. Grace that keeps me living even today. Grace keeps my heart beating. First I beat. Grace. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. I don't have to have a mansion on a hill. I don't have to have silver and gold. I can live without all of those things. But I can live a day without God's grace.
Amen.
Each and every day, new mercies come our way. Each and every day, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace, His amazing grace. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And although we may not have the car we want, we may not have the job we want, we may not have the house we want, but we've got a God that's given us everything that we need. And we've got a grace that will keep us and hold us. God's grace. And it is sufficient. It has kept me all these years. And it is sufficient. Door to church is open. There may be one that has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Today can be the day. You can't work your way to heaven. No matter what you do, you can never repay God for the blessings of this day. But what you can do is give your heart to Jesus. And His grace will take you all the way through those pearly gates. Will there be one today? You may join this church by letter, by Christian experience, or by being baptized. Let the day be the day that you give your heart to Jesus and that you experience God's grace. You may come as a choir shall sing. God bless you all.
Oh,
That's the reason.